know that no prophecy of Scripture, if we believe this to be God's Word, and God commissioned men to be moved by the Holy Spirit to pin these words, God meant it to say no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So, I am not in the position to sit there and interpret what God says. What I am here to do is to compare Scripture with Scripture based on 1 Corinthians and allow the Scripture to show the truth there. I don't want to take one verse and say, this is what it says. No. If I have a question with regards to Scripture, allow the Scripture to show forth the truth that's there. Correct? So we do know, first of all, 2 Peter 1:20-21 says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, if you would, please come with me to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28:9-10. Isaiah 28:9-10 says to us, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the mouth and drawn from the breast. Pay close attention to this next verse. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. You know, when I came to a point where I think I understand the gospel of the grace of God, it didn't come to me in an instant. Unfortunately, it did not. What did come to me in an instant was the gospel of Christ. When I was told the gospel of Christ, and that is, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, is that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. And was buried and rose again the third day for your justification. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When I saw that pinned in the Scriptures, knowing that this is God's Word, I believed the Word. If it wasn't true what he said about salvation, that gospel can save you by believing that, then God's a liar. And you need to close your book and go about your business. Because then God's a liar. That's why there is no compromise. I will not compromise the Word of God. Someone had asked me earlier, hey, since you preach and you teach the Word of God, why did you not choose that profession in the armed services? Well, the reason I haven't done that and will not do that is because it compromised the Word of God. Who am I to compromise God's Word? God says that forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. God pinned the words before time. Time began when, people? Please. When does time start based on the Scriptures? In the book of Genesis, does it not? Does it not start in Genesis? And then it goes all the way across the board, and time ends when? In the book of Revelation, correct? That's where you find time. Time starts in the book of Genesis. Time ends in the book of Revelation. But outside of time, But in the book of Psalms, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever encompasses the time that we are living in today. That's when time is compassed. And before that time, God pinned his words. So who am I to change God's words? And then you ask yourself, well, there's about 320 different Bibles. Well, when man chooses to handle the word of God deceitfully and chooses to change God's word as it was in the book of Genesis at the beginning, Satan himself is the father of lies and the father of it. It, what? The original sin was that you could be God. Change God's words. If that happened in the book of Genesis, what makes you think it's not going to happen now? Well, who do you think you are that it's not going to happen now? So we need to go about and look at the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are invaluable. I've had people come before me on many occasions that have said, it's got issues, it's got problems, it's lies. There are contradictions in the Scriptures. And you know what I do inevitably every time? Show it to me. Show me one in there. And you know why they can't show you? And when they do say that there's a contradiction, it's because they choose not to rightly divide the word of truth. When you sit there and look at 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul the Apostle, penned by his hand, and inspired by the Holy Ghost, says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's found in where? 2 Timothy 2:15, correct? That's where it's found. That's where it is. So, let's see if we can solve the issues and problems with regards to, well, Jesus Christ said that, gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Or, how about the Lord's Supper? How about that one? How about keeping the Sabbath? How about that one? How about those things that Jesus Christ said in the red letter Bibles? The things that He actually said that we can't do anything. First of all, we won't do it, and you can't do it. It's not possible. So so let's look at the scriptures and let them unfold and allow the scriptures to say what they say. So if you would, please, come with me to Ephesians 2. And you'll see why I put Isaiah, 2 Timothy, and 2 Peter in the positions that I put them on the board. Ephesians 2, and I'd like to start reading, if you would, in verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show His exceeding riches in His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. The He being God, right? He's going to show His exceeding kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. That's important, who the us is. Keep in mind. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, the same people from verse 7, where it says His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, that's who He's talking to. That ye, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time, in time past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye sometimes were afar off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ died after ministering on the earth for 3.5 years. He died at the cross. His blood was shed at the cross. And based on the but now there, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So the ye that is showed up in verse number 7, where it says, towards us, through Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come on, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. That is going to happen in the future, ages to come. So, but the ages to come here. That's future, correct? Ages to come. The but now there says it has to happen after Christ's death, correct? If you read it correctly, but now, in Christ Jesus, in time past, you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was time past. But now, in Christ Jesus. So the but now had to happen after the cross, correct? After the cross, something was happening. So we can at least say on this side of the cross, we can say the but now starts, right? I'm going to show you when it happened, but at this point we can say it's past the cross. But now. When do people say that the Old Testament? In your Bible, when is the Old Testament? Genesis through what? Malachi, right? Is that what they say it is? Well, we can say at least that Genesis through Malachi, that is Old Testament, right? Because we know that there was a distinction that God made between uncircumcision in time past, right, and circumcision. There's a distinction between the two. God dealt with the nation of Israel strictly and solely through them, with the nations from Genesis through Malachi. We can see that in Scripture. It's not hard to see that. Time prevailing, we can't get that deeply into that, but I can say that that's where that is. Books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People want to go directly to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to say that we're in there. The Great Commission, correct? Matthew 28. Matthew 28, all churches, most churches that I know of, always go to Matthew 28 with the Great Commission, correct? But remember, that's not, remember, Scripture cannot contradict Scripture. Paul the Apostle said, but now. The but now starts at the cross. And there was a distinction that God made between circumcised and uncircumcised, right? Well, I'm going to show you something based on Scripture that Jesus Christ, the apostles, nor Jesus Christ himself were sent to you. So that will put that in the time past. If you would, please, come with me. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, come with me to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, please. Matthew 10, and I'd like to start reading, if you don't mind. We'll start in verse 1, just to get within the context, and then we'll move forward from there. Matthew 10. And had called unto him his 12 disciples. He gave them. Who's the them? In the context. Let's not change the Scripture. Well, who is it? The 12 apostles, right? The disciples. Them, power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12, and he goes forth and names the 12, starting in verse 5. These 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, listen very carefully, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven, that is heard every Sunday, right now at this point, all over the airways, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Would the apostles have came to you based on that? And they got the commission based on the words, but they would not have came to you. They were commissioned to go to who? The lost sheep of the house of New Broncos? Israel. Don't change the words. Jesus Christ came, giving them a commission, and they were to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? We know that by Scripture, just looking at it, that's what it says. I'm not changing it, that's what it says. Now, if that's not enough, if you would, please come with me to Matthew 15. Come with me to Matthew 15 and look at verse, if you would. Matthew 15, we'll start, and you know what? To this date, outside of grace preachers, I have never heard anyone in a pulpit preach this passage or explain it to me. And I've asked them, and they can't. Okay? I have not heard them, but grace preachers I've heard them preach. And it makes sense, because what do? They consider what Paul says, and the Lord give them understanding in all things. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Timothy 2:15, to rightly divide the word of truth. That is exactly what we're doing. I'm not saying it's not true. This is what Jesus Christ said. These are his words. And is not the whole book Jesus Christ? Is he not the living word of God? Would he not know? Oh, he was confused. Paul was confused. He said, Paul wrote down what Jesus Christ wanted him to write. Would Jesus Christ have forgotten what he said here in Matthew 10 and Matthew 15, which we're going to look at right now, and then change it 30, 40 years later with Paul? Absolutely not. He didn't change his mind. He did not sit there and say, oh, I changed my mind. No, there's a reason for that. And if we look at the Scripture and allow that Scripture to mean what it means, and study it, then maybe we can get an understanding of what God's dealing with and how God is dealing with us today. Look at this, Matthew 15:21, and we'll start at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, based on John 3:16, would he have answered like this? Look at the next verse summary. Everyone knows John 3:16, correct? The John 3:16 that Christianity today totes like a symbol on their shirt. Why did he reply like this? Read this next verse. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. What? And his, to the point where his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. He still doesn't answer her, people. Read verse 24. But he answered and said, Not her, but to the disciples, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How much clearer does it have to be? Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the earth, said that he was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why is that? Prophecy said that he had to go to them first. The promises that were given to the nation of Israel had to be fulfilled. And he went to them, just like the scripture said. And he went to them first, because it was up to a nation of priests. Study the scriptures. All you have to do is go back here in Genesis to Malachi, and you will see that they were to be a priesthood, a nation of priests. And then they were to go forth to the nations. That was what was supposed to happen. That prophecy. It's always been written there. It's there. That's why Jesus Christ did not reply to it. But why did he? Read on. The question was, he did answer. Yes, he did answer. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Verse 26. But he answered. Now he answers her. But he said, did he say, yes, I'm going to heal you now? No, he didn't. Read the scripture. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to who? Dogs. Do you realize what he just called this woman? Remember John 3:16. Remember the John 3:16 on what Christ did. And yet, he says that. He says that to her? Calls her a dog? Basically, that's what he's saying. Now, you might be on the internet or wherever else. Those of you that are here might go through this and say, Oh, well, you know, that's not really what he said. No. That's what he said. That's what he said. And there's a reason behind that. There is a reason. Now watch. Follow with me. Follow the scriptures. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Where did she place herself? In submission to the nation of Israel. Subordinate to the nation of Israel. And do you know why? She probably studied the scriptures. Because we're going to look at Genesis 12 right now. And if you would, please change to Genesis 12. She knew Genesis 12. Or else she would not have put herself in a position of submission to the nation of Israel. There's a reason for that. Come with me there. Genesis 12. We'll start in verse 1. Now the Lord... Let me write this up here. Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2. Read this with me if you would. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. Who? Abraham and his seed. Oh, and by the way, that's the nation of Israel, or the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the people that Jesus Christ is going to. and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. When that lady, go back with me if you would, back to Matthew 15, when that lady placed herself in submission, at a position of being master and servant, verse 27, Matthew 15, 27, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then he answers her, what does he say, 28? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. When she recognized, when by faith, how does faith come? Please, can I call you all up here so I can spread the faith? Is that how it's done? Based on God's word? No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus Christ said, "Great is thy faith." Why is her faith so great? She believed the word of God. This lady understood what Genesis 12:1-2. She understood that. Now, why is it that the world today can't understand that? With all the seminaries and these huge cathedrals of hundreds of thousands of people and all the hundreds of thousands of people on the internet following them, how come they can't see that? I haven't changed the scripture. If I have, please make it known now so that I can change my mind. The reason I believe what I believe about this word is because the word changed my mind. A man didn't do it. Jerry Lockhart didn't do it. Richard Jordan didn't do it. John Verstappen didn't do it. You know what those men did? They showed me the scriptures. And they said, "Look, just look at the scripture. Allow the scripture to mean what it says, to whom it says it, where it says it. Don't change God's word. Allow God's word to say what it says, to whom it says it, where it says it." Right? Is that not what God commissions us to do? Is to look at His word and allow it to be what it is. It's Jesus Christ made up. The words on the page is Jesus Christ. When you change that, you're changing Christ. And what you're saying is, God's a liar. When you sit there and say, "That's not true," you're making him a liar. And you will account for that. Praise God that we are here now, today, in this dispensation of the grace of God. Right now, any person, anywhere, anytime, without regards to color, race, age, sex, whatever it is that you've done, breaking whatever sin that you've committed, because in God's eyes, sin is sin. Is it not? Is not in God's eyes, sin is sin? What is God's standard for sin? Based on scripture, what is it? Come on, people. It's real easy. The law. That's God's standard for righteousness. If you uphold the law, then you're righteous. But remember, if you break one, if you have been in but one point of the law, what? You're guilty of the law. And that's not from this point forward. Now, with that in mind, do you all know how many laws there are in God's word? Does anybody have an idea? 650, 630. I couldn't go with 630. I hear great preachers go from anywhere from 610 to 630, so I say 620 plus, okay? Need for me, 536. Come on, people, name it for me. You don't know it? You just wrote it. Now you're guilty of it all. That is the law. That's why Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, was able to be our Redeemer. Why was He able to be our Redeemer? Because He was tempted in all points of the law but one, yet without sin. He was tempted, yet He was without sin. Now, let me ask you a question. I've showed you Old Testament. I've shown you that in the ages to come, there's some things that are going to occur. I'm going to also show you how in the book of Hebrews, if you would, come with me to Hebrews 6. By the way, who is Hebrews written to? Who is Hebrews written to, people? To the Jews, right? Hebrews. Are you guys Hebrews?
No.
Hebrews 6. I want to make sure, with the limited time that I have, I want to make sure I try to hit as many passages as I possibly can throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, so that we have a good broad spectrum. That we as, I as a believer in the gospel of Christ, know that I don't leave out any part. I do study the things that my apostle has told me to study. Paul the apostle, on at the minimum 18 different times, says that he's our apostle. John, Paul the apostle, also wrote how many books in the Bible? How many books did Paul write?
13.
How many? 13. Paul the apostle wrote 13 books. Paul the apostle, like I said, on at least 18 different occasions in one form or another, says that he's our apostle. Okay? Now, I want to kind of, like I said, I want to kind of get a spectrum of Old Testament, the Pauline epistles, and the Hebrew epistles. So, in Hebrews 6, 4-6, let's read something here. Comparing and contrasting. It says, Hebrews 6, verse 4. For it is, what's that next word, people? Impossible. Impossible means it's not possible. Once, you can't break this. It's impossible, okay? This is God's word. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So to be a partaker of the Holy Ghost is to have the Holy Ghost, right? To have that. So once you have that, there's impossible for something to occur. And have tasted the God, the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, and to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified for themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. So once you have been tasted of the heavenly gift, which is the Holy Ghost, it's if you fall away would be what? What would you think falling away would be? Sin, right? Right? Sin. It's impossible for you to renew yourself again unto repentance. It's not possible. It's impossible. There it is. I didn't say it. That's what it says. Allow it to say what it says to whom it says and where it says it, correct? It's impossible. That's what the Hebrews 6 says. It says what it says. Now, if you look at that, impossible. I got a passage over here that I'd like to share with you all if possible. Come with me to Ephesians 1. You know, you people sit there and say, there's a lot of contradictions in the scriptures. Let me show you a contradiction. There's a lot of contradictions. I said, well, show me the contradictions. Show me the contradictions. Well, you know there are. I said, yeah, I know there's some apparent contradictions. You know, they appear to be contradictory. And they are contradictory if you don't rightly divide them. And here's one of them. Here's one of them. You have Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, and it's impossible to renew yourself again unto repentance if you fall away, correct? Look at this right here. Ephesians 1, verse 12, we're going to read verses 12 through 14. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. That's Paul and those that are with him. And he's writing to the Ephesians who are much like us. We were those that were without hope, without God in the world, and that's what we're going to tie this back into. Us. The Ephesians are like us. In whom ye also trusted, verse 13, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, in what? The gospel of your salvation, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Seal. You know that word seal is used four times in Paul's epistles? Seal with the Holy Spirit of promise. Once you believe the gospel of Christ, you may have a feeling, you might feel rejoices. I would felt joy. I actually, when I came to say knowledge of Jesus Christ, I felt a peace come about. I had peace. And when I did, when I testify to my testimony, I give it to certain people, I feel very assured of that. And that's why your testimony is so important, because many times it's your testimony. Some of you might hear that because it's the 23 words of the gospel that saves people. Saves, not the individual. I can't save anybody. Who am I to save? I'm not worth the gunpowder that will blast me into hell, okay? I'm not. But in Christ Jesus, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And if you would, while we're there, why don't you look at me with me at verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. What does that say? Blessed be the God Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The way you receive those blessings is by believing what? The gospel of your salvation. And there is a sealing that takes place. Paul the Apostle mentions that in the book of Ephesians, Timothy, 1 Timothy, and I believe 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Timothy and 2 Corinthians. He mentions the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're sealed with that, and then you have something over here that says that you can't get it back, are those things different? Obviously. If things are different, let them be different. Mike, do you remember who wrote Things That Differ? Who wrote that book? Things That Differ. Does anybody remember Things That Differ? Stan, the book Things That Differ by Stan, well, it goes over this very same thing, and things that are different are going to be different. That's different. It's being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise and being able to break the seal of promise are two different things. Look at another thing with me. Come with me to Colossians 2:13, if you would. And I'd like to start in Colossians 2:12. It says, Colossians 2:12. The reason you'll find me writing these here is because of the 13 books Paul wrote, Romans through Philemon, okay? Those are the books that Paul wrote. And we've had Hebrews through Revelations, written by primarily the 12 apostles. And then we have the Old Testament. So I'm trying to categorize these in the time past, but now the age to come. Read with me, if you would, in Colossians 2:13. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, Ephesians and Colossians were written at approximately the same time. Okay, in his second imprisonment, Paul's second imprisonment. And it says, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision in your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, who, with Christ Jesus, he's the one that died on the cross, having forgiven you, and I love this word, what? All trespasses. Now, if all trespasses, that's all sins, but I might use that, and it says all trespasses are forgiven, right? Is there any way, if all of that has been forgiven, okay? And it says that you can fall away over here in Hebrews and not get it back. Then there must be something over here in Hebrews that you can do that you would fall away, right? And it's not forgiven. Well, wait a second. The Word of God can't contradict itself, right? God is not an author of confusion. God is not a liar. He said all trespasses are forgiven here. So, if this is different than that, let it be different. The answer, again, as we're coming up, if you're getting the gist of it, the answer to this is allow the Word of God to speak to those that He's speaking to. That's how you can say, this is true and so is this. We here in the books of Colossians 2:12 are the same people as Ephesians 2, where it says, now come back with me back over to that. In Ephesians 2, it says what? Verse 11. Ephesians 2, 11. Ephesians 2, 11 says again, "Wherefore remember that ye, being time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision, but that which is called circumcision in flesh made by hands," Genesis 12, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope but without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now people would say, "Oh, see, it happened right here." Yes, it happened right here. But it did not become... You did not... We're not placing that verse 13, the "but now," until Paul the Apostle pinned it. Paul the Apostle? That's the unique thing. See, Peter preached the cross, did he not, in Acts 2? Peter preached the cross to Cornelius in Acts 10, did he not? He did. And he did preach it. Although, you can even look at, you can go so far as going to Acts 11, and they went to none but the Jews only, and we can look at that. But that's a different gospel, because Jesus Christ said who? He said to go forth preaching to none but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What were they preaching? The kingdom of heaven. Different gospel. If it's different, let it be different. So the 12 apostles were preaching something called the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Right? Paul the apostle is preaching something completely different. Paul the apostle did not come until saving knowledge of Jesus Christ until when? Acts 9. Come with me there, please. Read with me in Acts 9. Paul the Apostle and Saul, verse 1. Acts 9, verse 1. "And Saul, again breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." You want to do a great study? Go in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and tell me or study what it takes to be a disciple of Christ and what it is that they had to do to be a disciple. And nobody, not no, I think there's a church or a denomination called the Disciples of Christ or something like that, Church of Disciples. They're not disciples of Christ. They wouldn't have a church. They wouldn't have a car. They wouldn't have a building. They wouldn't have any bank accounts. They wouldn't be doing anything. Because Jesus Christ said, in order for you to be a disciple, you have to get rid of all that. Take up your cross and follow me. And oh, by the way, picking up a cross and following, we saw this on the road. We were going to Iowa. There was a gentleman on the road to Iowa. He was under a bridge, drinking water. And he had a cross with a wheel on it. Remember that? Just recently. That's not taking up your cross and following him. When Jesus Christ said, "Take up your cross and follow me," and he told the disciples that, a lot of people just went away. You know why? Because when you said, "Take up your cross and follow me," it meant that he was going to the cross and you're going to die. That's why if you look in the book of Acts, Acts 1, it says there were only 120 disciples. Period. That's all. You know why? Because they weren't willing to do what Christ told them to do in order to be a disciple. So when you read that there, that Paul the Apostle was out there breathing out threatenings of slaughter against the disciples, that's what he's going after. Went at him, verse 2. "And desired him," he went to the high priest in verse 1, "and desired him in letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," those that were disciples of the Lord, "whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord?" He knew who he was talking to. He knew exactly who he was talking to. This is the one that he's persecuting, and the disciples of him. "And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling in his side, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and shall be told with thee what thou must do. That's where it happened with Paul. There's no other place I could see in Scripture where Paul came to a point where he believed Jesus Christ to be the Lord. There it is, Acts 9, correct? Is that where we see that? Come with me now, with that in mind. So we know that happened here, correct? We know that. Now come with me, if you would, to look at Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. So we have Acts 9 here. We know he's on the road to Damascus. Now we're going to read what Paul has to say that occurred to him in 1 Timothy. Allow the Scripture to say what it says, to know it says, and where it says it. I don't believe that I have said anything. I think this is what I believe. I don't think I said you should believe what I believe. No, I'm saying believe what the Scriptures say and where it says it, okay? I'm just pointing these out to you. 1 Timothy 1, starting in... there's so much to go. We're going to go ahead and start, for time's sake, we're going to go on to verse 12. It says... Actually, no, I don't want to do that. Let's go to verse 10, and I want to get started at the very, towards the end of verse 10. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, the glorious gospel that was committed to Paul's trust, who was after the disciples of Christ in Acts 9, keep in mind Matthew 12, because we're going to look at Matthew 12. This is what he was. Look what he says. The glorious gospel was committed to Paul the apostle. Look what he says in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. When did he do that? Acts 9. All you have to do is read the chapter Acts 9 and read it and continue forward, and you'll find out that he went right into the ministry preaching. Watch. Verse 13. Who was before a what? A blasphemer. Well, if you look at Matthew 12, 31, I'm not asking you all to go there, but for those on the internet, if you go over to Matthew 12, 31 through 32, you'll find out that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is unforgivable. Well, wait, stop, hold up, stop a minute, wait a minute. I thought we were forgiven all trespasses, right? That's what it says. But Jesus Christ said that you cannot blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, and it wouldn't be forgiven neither in this world nor the world to come. That's what Jesus Christ said. Oh, see, there's a contradiction. Right away, I read that. There's a contradiction right there. No, there's not a contradiction, people. Let's continue to read the Scripture and find out why God did what He did. Okay? Let's allow the Scripture to say what it says. Let's continue. It says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it early in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. To who? To me? No, to God the Father. Okay? It's worthy of all acceptation to me? No, it's to God the Father. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am, what? Chief. There is no one above him. He is the chief. You think you're a bad sinner? Paul was worse. You think you went out there and you did something that's unforgivable, or that was so wretched that you couldn't even stand, you're looking at yourself in the mirror? Guess what? Paul was better than that. That's who he was. Yet God showed mercy on him to the point that Jesus Christ said that you couldn't be a blasphemer and be forgiven that. There's a purpose, and we're going to look at that. I'm not going to leave you hanging there. We've got 12 minutes. Verse number 16. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy, He was the chief and he had obtained mercy. So that means that if he's the chief, everybody else is below him. He received mercy because of that. So guess what? Any of you all can receive the same mercy that he received because he was chief. And that was the purpose for him. Let's read on. That in me first, that word is in small words are important. God can't, this is important. First. First means first. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Life everlasting. Paul was first to obtain mercy. He was the chief. Paul didn't get saved until that time. So guess what? This gospel of the kingdom we've been talking about, that's real clear based on scripture, that was committed to the nation of Israel, is not for you. The tenets that are brought forth in the kingdom of heaven gospel are not for you. Paul the apostle, he was the first. He obtained mercy. He's the one, guess what, that tells you you are forgiven all trespasses. Wait a second, here's a question. Yes, he was. There's a reason for that. Now, again, don't take my logic part. This is look at the scripture. Come with me to Romans 16. Please, come with me to Romans 16. As you can tell, I get kind of heated about this, but it's because I believe it, and I believe these words on this page because they make sense. I'm going to tell you, the more I study the scripture, the older I get, and I'm getting older, the more I study the scripture, the more I'm convinced that this is true because it makes sense. It makes sense of the confusion that's out there today. The confusion in the church today is because they don't consider what Paul says. Paul, the apostle, says this is the answer. And we're going to look at Romans 16, and we're going to look at a couple of passages so that you can say, oh, see, well, how's this all happening? Well, if you consider what Paul says, maybe you would understand this stuff right here, and it would make sense. So, Romans 16, if you would. I'm excited. Can I spin yet? I get excited. My family says I get excited to start preaching. Yeah, I start to. Yeah, Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to whose gospel? My gospel. If you don't know this by now, Paul the Apostle penned the book of Romans, okay? My gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Pay attention to this. The next eight words, which was kept secret since the world began. Okay. Remember earlier this morning, this evening, what did I say? Where did time start? Book of Genesis, right? Did I say that? And it goes all the way to the book of Revelation, when time stops, right? Well, since before the world began, Genesis 1:1 is the beginning of the world, right? Out here somewhere, outside of time, God had a mystery. The mystery was that it was going to be revealed to Paul the Apostle that anybody, simply by believing the gospel of Christ, that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins, those of us, remember, based on Scripture, we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were not circumcised. We were uncircumcised. We were dogs. We were outside of the covenants of promise. That we had no hope, and without God in the world. Those people, according to the mystery, we could be saved. We could be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We could be forgiven all trespasses. We could have all heavenly, but we could be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Those things were revealed to the chief. It was revealed to him to reveal to us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, come on, people, that's something to rejoice in. Look what you have. We're destined to hell and not even knowing it. And people want to sit there and say that God's a liar? There's the answer. Look at what he has to say. Go to Ephesians 3, please. Gosh, I get kind of you know, because it's just, people want to sit there and say that God is an unforgiving God. Give me a break. What is God's will? That all men be saved. There's that word again, right? All men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, right? All means all. Dude, that's what God wants. And how does he accomplish that? He accomplishes it by saving a man on the way, a wretch, by the name of Saul, on his way to Damascus to kill people, disciples of the Lord. He saves him, the chief, so that people like us can be saved the same way. That glorious gospel. The glorious gospel is that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Jesus Christ died. There's no one else who's ever done that. I don't have to sit there and look for what history says about it. Listen to me. If you're not saved, you're what? You're dead in your sins and trespasses, right? A man said to me once, that, you know, Richard Jordan, I'm going to give, I don't know if you all know who Richard Jordan is. That's what he told me. He says, the creative genius of an unsaved man is satanically inspired. Did you know that? And they, history is only relevant, the relevance of history is only based on the individual's look at that. Scripture doesn't change. Show me it. Show me where it's contradictory. How many times in all the years that I've been witnessing the gospel, going to, and I can tell you, going to the malls, going to the swap meets, talking to people that have came forward and said, oh, there's contradictions. Yeah, okay, show me contradictions. You know, they bring up things like this, impossible, about talking about the gospel of the kingdom, you know, without rightly dividing. And I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. Well, why don't you take a look at this and see what Paul says about rightly dividing and see how it fits into place. Real easy. And then they shut their mouth and they have nothing. And then they don't want to talk to you about it anymore. They don't want to study the scriptures and they don't want to prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, but through the scriptures. Oh, but you know the places. I said, yeah, I do. Why am I going to tell you where they're at? You check them out. And then you bring them forth. Let's talk about it. Well, because I know this to be true. I know this to be true. And I will not compromise this word. Come with me once again before we close. Look up one more thing. We'll finish up with Ephesians 3. okay. Real quick, I'd like to get started and read. Verse 1. For this cause I call, prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word. Oh, and most of the other versions take out dispensation like they take out many other words. How that by revelation you may know unto me the mystery. As the word of four in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Which in other ages, so that it must be past, present, and future in other ages. He's talking about broad stretcher ages. As it is now, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, verse chapter 2, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise of Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual work of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, if Paul's preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, can we find them? Yeah, Paul's preaching them. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of their mystery, which from where? The beginning of the world has been hidden God who created all things in Christ Jesus, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and heavenly powers of principalities, powers, and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In closing, what Ephesians 3 were, those things, the things that we have talked about, okay, with regards to rightly dividing and looking at the scriptures and allowing the scriptures to be true, even if it appears to be contradictory. And it looks to you to be contradictory. If you look to it, rightly divided, and Ask the Lord to show you. Search them out with the understanding of who Paul the Apostle is. Paul the Apostle makes the audacity, makes this statement. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. He said it. That's pretty audacious, if you ask me. For the chief sinner, for the blasphemer, for the one that was on his road to Damascus to kill disciples of the Lord, he said that? Oh, I forgot. Wait a second. Saw all of us. Oh, 2 Peter 1, 20-21. Huh? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ sent him to bring a message to us today, here in this dispensation of grace, which is different. And it's going to stop, by the way. And those of you, I wish I had a longer opportunity, I could go on for hours, but it's going to stop someday. And that's with the taking up of the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. Study it out and see. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at these scriptures. It's going to stop someday, and guess what? All this prophecy that's out here that was written has stopped. And it's going to take off again because God said these things were going to happen. But it stopped for you all. And be thankful for that. And whenever you have the opportunity to witness the gospel of Christ to someone, give it to them. God's will is that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. What comes first? Salvation. Right? And then if you get that opportunity, then you might be able to witness to them these things. And they come unto the knowledge of the truth. Salvation is first. People will never understand this. One last thing. I know. One last thing. 1 Corinthians 3. One last thing. First Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Know what? The spiritual things of God. He can't know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. They don't understand. Salvation comes first. You'll never come unto the saving, unto an understanding, and this become real to you, unless you come unto saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So if there's anyone here today that has never came to that point or realization that they need a Savior, you can just do it right there sitting. And I'm thankful to you all for this opportunity to come here and